So, this time I would like to invite Janelle Bresnik to come up, and she led the trip, and she's going to lead the proceedings the rest of the night, and so let's give her a warm welcome and the rest of the team.
Thank you. I am so excited to share with you guys what God has done. He's mind-blowing. I have to just say that at the beginning. And I want to thank you guys so much for your donations before the trip. You guys donated glasses and toothpaste and batteries, and we used them, and they were such a blessing to have on the trip. So they are in Nepal being used, so it's awesome. And I want to say hi to our St. Pete team. Hi, guys. And to our friend in Galil watching in Sweden, and our Nepali friends, Kunga and Tenzin and Pastor Kelsong and Pima, you all are watching, and I just wanted to say hi to you, too. So very exciting. Let's see where we're at here with our... Okay, well, the first one's blank, but that's okay. Before the trip, I had traveled to Nepal two times, and the last time was in 2008. And it was a country in turmoil. It was a country under a very unstable government. The Christianity there was non-existent. It was not accepted. If you became a believer, you were kicked out of your village. You were sent to the edge of the village to scavenge and beg for food, and it didn't matter what age you were, children, elderly, they would be kicked out. I heard stories of the suffering that the Christians there had endured because of their faith. The believers I encountered had lost their families, basically had to start over their whole lives, but they did it gladly because of their Savior. Well, 9 years later, I encountered a very different Nepal. To my joy, I witnessed firsthand the Nepali Christian church called Beautiful Gate, the Tibetan Christian church called Peace Church. There is a Calvary Chapel Kathmandu, woo, and a Calvary Chapel Bible College in Kathmandu. So praise the Lord for that. That is amazing. And if that isn't enough, there's a New Testament translation being worked on right now, changing the New Testament into Tibetan. And in 2 years' time, they will have the Word of God in their own language. And yes, amen. We have to thank Calvary Chapel St. Pete for that, because they raised the funds, their church raised the funds as a project for their whole church to pay for this translation with Wycliffe. So we are so excited to see what's going to happen because of that. Now, on our trip, two of our team members, Art and Ray, they went in a separate area. As soon as we got there, they went to do a pastor's conference, Nepali pastors. And they went and they shared and taught them about inductive Bible study. Well, when they came back and they told us about their conference, they said they were amazed to find out that Nepali pastors did not understand application of the word. They taught it, they learned it, they taught it, but they never applied it. It was never shown to them to apply the Word of God. I mean, to us, especially Calvary peeps, we are like, that's all we do. We love the Word. We drink it in. We apply it. So can you imagine being a pastor and never applying the Word to yourself or your congregation, but then learning that you can do that and how life-transforming that is? They shared with us that the pastors began to cry. They begin to just be filled with joy of the Lord because they have discovered the word that they loved and cherished now would become part of who they were, their spirit. You know, and that, to us, it's unfathomable to think, well, of course we apply the word, but culturally they just didn't get it, and now they do. And so the people that ran the conference were like, you guys got to come back in a couple of years because you have to see what doing this with the word will do to our people and our churches. And can you guys imagine that? What's going to happen to the Nepali church in the next few years as these pastors go back out to their congregations and begin to feed them the word and they begin to live it? So it's so exciting, so exciting. God is truly doing a work in Nepal. God is doing wonderful and miraculous things in Nepal, in a country that has never known him and is in spiritual darkness. God is reaching down to them and he is making them his own. So before I have the team come up and share, I just kind of want to go over what we did on the trip, because we've done a lot of mission trips here at our church and usually involve some evangelism, some VBS, some outreach, things like that. This is a very different trip. We we grouped up with Calvary Chapel St. Petersburg and someone from Calvary Chapel Santa Barbara, and we formed a team and went and did medical, dental, and optometry clinics, all to the Tibetan refugee settlements and one Nepali church. So I just kind of want to give you a more insight into what we did. Now, because we had the split teams, we really, really prayed for unity. Because as a lot of you know who have been on trips, the enemy will try to divide the team almost immediately. He'll try to cause grumbling and dissension and division because that will affect your ability to minister. So we prayed really hard, Lord, we're coming from different churches, we're diverse, we're different, please unify us. So one of the first things we did is we met in the Heart Institute out here in Lake Wells, and we met our colleagues at the St. Pete team, and we bonded. And this is a team building event where we had to move our team from four different platforms without touching the ground, and all we had were two boards, basically, to get from one platform to the other. So it looked pretty minor there. Well, this is the end result. And if you can see, there's about 15 of us, though you can't see us all because most of the Orlando people are stuck in the middle. I don't know why. But we're on a 2x2 platform with two planks balancing us and the whole team. And I tell you, if that doesn't bond you, all that BO and all that, nothing will. So that was great. Well, after that, we got a little more serious. And one of the things we were going to be doing was dental. Well, interesting about this trip, when I told especially people at our church, yeah, we're doing a medical, dental, optometry, they were like, oh, I didn't know we had so many doctors and dentists in our church. I'm like, well, we really don't. We don't. We had one doctor, one general practitioner on the trip. We had an optometrist. And we had two retired surgical dental assistants. So they weren't really dentists. They were helpers. So all I can say is God loves to use the ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So I had been trained long ago on how to do dental work in third world countries without electricity, without anesthesia. So I thought, yeah, why not? Let's put a team together and we'll teach them. And there they are. This is over in St. Pete. We've got our people here and some of the St. Pete peeps. And we're learning how to do dental work. And they were outstanding. Really, really great. After that day, they were ready to go. All right. So, of course, we took the long trip to Nepal. We arrived in Kathmandu late on a Thursday night and had a couple of days to adjust to the 25-hour flight. Well, flying. There were some ups and downs. And they were planned. And nine time zones. So you can imagine it was a little bit of adjustment when we got there. And our very first Saturday there, they worship on Saturdays, we had the privilege of worshiping in the Nepali church, and they call it Beautiful Gate. And we entered the church, and there's no pews, no chairs, everything's rugs. And we went and we sat down. There was just kind of a few of us. We were a little early. And like typical Calvary Chapel, they start flowing in slowly. And by the time church started, the whole floor was just completely full of people. And it was full of poor people. It's full of like what we would call middle class. It was full of mentally ill people. It was full of lepers. But everybody there was worshiping and praising the Lord. And it was a three-hour service. And it was wonderful. And I quickly snapped a picture of this lady because she was worshiping and just burst out in dance because of her love for the Lord. And she just stood up and she was dancing around. And it was beautiful. It wasn't distracting. It was beautiful. So I got a quick picture. Well, after that, we had to head out to start our first clinic. And we took this wonderful little bus and headed to an area called Pokhara. And it was about an 8-hour bus ride. And we made our way to our first clinic called Jambaling. And this is a Tibetan settlement. It was settled in about the 1970s. And most of you probably know the history of the Tibetan people, that China invaded their country and they had a lot of them had to flee. And they fled to Nepal, some of them, some hoping to make their way to India. And some of them stayed in Nepal. And they had these camps set up for them. And they ended up staying and eventually becoming a settlement. So that's where we went on our first clinic. We arrived. And every clinic we went to, there would always be people waiting. And these people look pretty somber, very quiet. Tibetan people are kind of more quiet. You know, they're not loud and not just like we Americans. But as soon as we walked in that door, they glowed. They lit up. They began to bow to us with such gratitude that we were there. The smiles were ear to ear. There's not even enough words to explain how that felt, except for all of us were in tears walking in, and any nervousness, anything we had, it was washed away by their love for us and their gratitude that we were there. Once we got to the clinic, we had to figure out where to set up, because every place we went to was a little bit different, and we'd have to set up the dental clinic, the medical clinic, and the eye clinic. And then we'd assess the patients and sort of move them around. And you can imagine how that is when you don't speak the language, you don't quite understand the culture, and you're trying to figure out what's wrong with people. But it was wonderful, and it was a lot of fun. And this is our medical clinic. The wonderful lady there is Camille, and she's our doctor from St. Pete. And she would prayerfully treat every patient, asking for wisdom from the Lord, because you just don't know what's going to walk in, right? And she did a wonderful job. And she's going to be going to Papua New Guinea here in January to serve with Wycliffe as her doctor. So it's very exciting. This clinic didn't have a lot of electricity. So we had to work all day kind of with just headlamps. And as it got darker and darker, it got a little more difficult. But we got it done. And then this is Frank, our eye doctor. And all those eyeglasses you sent, we put to use. And Frank and Brian ran the dental clinic. And they look pretty serious there. But that room, that was the fun room. Like, you could hear these guys laughing. They made the Tibetans laugh. There would be monks and nuns in there, Tibetan Buddhist monks and nuns, and they'd be laughing. That was the room you wanted to make sure you got to by the end of the day. And then there's the dental clinics, and that's where our people mostly worked. And that's our little Jennifer there doing the work. Let me find where I am. Okay, so we would set up treatment areas for the dental. And you could see, we didn't really have a dentist chair. We didn't have any of those kind of things you're used to. So we would have to pull up a bench. Sometimes we had just sat them in chairs. Sometimes they laid on the floor and we would do the dental work on them. And we did fillings. We did cleanings. We did sealants on the kids' teeth. We did just about everything the dentist does. Oh, and this is our cleaning guy, Stacy. He was awesome. You know, he'd have to set up a cleaning station because we didn't have electricity, so we didn't have an autoclave machine to clean all our instruments. So we had to, he had to wash everything by hand with this solution that probably kills just about anything you can think of. So it was awesome, but it was a lot of work, and he was our, kept us going the whole time. It was great. Now, this is the room that's really fun. This is the tooth pulling room. Yeah. This is Inga Lilguzik, and she was on our team from Santa Barbara. And I tell you, if you have to have your tooth pulled, that's the lady you want to do it. Okay. Now, they did use anesthesia for the tooth pulling, as you can imagine. It's a little unpleasant. But she was so good and so gentle and so prayerful and so tender. And, you know, it really wasn't a bad thing. It really brought a lot of relief. And a lot of the people that had teeth pulled, they wanted them pulled. They were just hurting so much, they wanted them out. There's just a little product. She pulled a record, the first clinic, a record 31 teeth. Yeah, yeah. Let's just make sure you're awake. All right. And there's just a couple more pictures. As you can see, sometimes we laid them on these platforms, just whatever we could use. There's a sweet Tibetan lady waiting for treatment. Another one. So at the end of the first clinic, we all went out and took our picture in front of it. And, you know, we learned so much that first clinic. You know, you've trained, you've prepared as best you can, but you don't know what you're walking into until you've done that first clinic. And it was a powerful day of watching the Lord just work through us. Pastor Will was talking about that sense of the Lord with us tonight, and we felt him. We felt your prayers every step of the way. You know, when I was there last time in that country, I felt the darkness, and this time I felt a shield about us everywhere we went. And when things got a little hard, we prayed, and the Lord met us and took care of that. So it was just an amazing time. Now, one of the really cool things is we get pretty tired about 2 or 3 o'clock, you know, from having worked there, no air conditioning, often no lights. We get pretty worn out, but it never failed that about 2 or 3 o'clock, the kids would get out of school. And they come running over, and we get to treat all the little Nepali, Tibetan kids, most of them. And I love this picture because they look kind of scared. Like, oh, what's going to happen at the clinic? I've never been to a clinic, so I love that because it didn't take very long before they were just kids, you know, rambunctious, giggling, running around, trying to look at everything. You know, we were doing the dental clinic and we had the line of kids outside the door. Well, every 2 minutes I'd turn around and they had made their way in the door and they were looking over the shoulder of the people working on the teeth. It was adorable. Loved it. Here's Denise working on it. The kids. The kids were great. They were rarely scared. A few of them would be a little tense, but they really trusted us. And all every patient we had, just you think about that. You're going to a dentist you've never met. You don't even know they're really not licensed. And you lay down and you let them treat you. And you know, we were prayerful and we were careful and God used it. It was awesome. Sometimes we have so many kids, we just assess them. I sit there and line them up outside and just say, one after the other, just look at what needed to be done, write it down on a paper, and they go in to the dental team and they quickly take care of that need. This is a child that came in, worst case of chicken pox we've ever seen. And thankfully, he was able to get some help from our doctor. But he was not a happy camper. And kids are kids everywhere. They love the cameras. They love to play. And this is Mike. He's from St. Pete. And he's got some great tattoos. He's got the lion and the lamb. He's got different scripture. He's got words from the Lord. And the kids just were fascinated by it. And what it ended up being was a great opportunity to share the gospel. Explain, yeah, that is the lion and the lamb. Let me tell you who that is. And they were fascinated. And I love this picture. Yuriana took almost all these pictures. In fact, she did. And can you see on Mike's elbow the hearts? She didn't even know she was getting that when she took this picture. And there it is. You know, the love of Christ. He is forgiven. And then this little kid just doing the same thing. Love it. So Inga Lil, I know that looks terrifying, but she really was very gentle. And we're so thankful she was on the trip. She's such a critical part of our team. And then there's Jennifer. Our little Jenny bug. I have to share about Jennifer because I knew when she signed up for this trip, our youngest member of our team, that it would be a stretch. It would be challenging. And I wanted to put her in positions and things that would stretch her. And I wanted to make her more bold. And I told her that. I said, you got to trust me on this trip. I'm gonna put you in situations, not dangerous, but I'm going to put you out there. Well, I just have to say, every time I did that, she not only stepped into it boldly, she prayerfully and spiritually just walked with the Lord and did it. You know, she treated patients that were like, it's very challenging, and I thought, I'm just going to put that in front of there, and she did it without any complaint, without any, maybe she had some fear, but she didn't show it. So I'm just so proud of her, and I'm proud of what she did on this trip and how the Lord used her. And this is her fourth trip, so she's a seasoned traveler, and I'm going to have Jennifer come up now and have her share about her experience on the trip. So give it up for her.
You almost made me cry there. Like, woo, it's what I do. I make you cry. Okay, I love you.
I love you too.
I'm so happy to be able to be here and to share with you guys some of the stuff that the Lord showed me on the trip. So without further ado, I'm just going to jump right in. As Janelle was saying, the first day was awesome, the first clinic day we had. The people were just so happy that we were there and treating them, and they were just so loving. And, you know, even though it was our first time actually, like, really treating people, it actually went awesome, so that was pretty cool. And after the day was done, Konga, who was one of our translators and the only Christian in his village, his mother invited us over to her house, and she served us tea and cookies, and that in itself was just a huge honor to be welcomed in like that. And at the end of it, when we were getting ready to leave, she came in with a friend, and her friend put white scarves around our necks and went to each one of us and touched our heads together, which means that we'll see them again one day. And that's just a huge, that's a big deal, because what it meant was that she was accepting us as her son's friends and also as Christians, which that was really just, mind-blowing. So that was just the first short little thing. I totally forgot about the elephants. Later on, Tenzin, who was one of the translators at the other camps, he told us that Konga said that the people came up to him afterwards at that village and said that we were like a herd of elephants coming through the camp. That sounds kind of weird at first, you know, it almost sounds like an insult, but it wasn't. It was actually really cool, because when an elephant comes through, everyone gathers around and comes to see the elephant. No one can miss it, and it's just like this big event. And wherever the elephant's been, you know, it leaves a path. And sometimes they kind of direct the elephant to, like, push down old crops and make way for new growth. And that's what the Lord did with us. You know, he used us to make a path for other Christians in the area to come and to just water the seeds that were planted there. And I'm just looking forward to one day being in heaven and meeting those people who we touched, you know. That was pretty awesome. Another thing I want to share is one of our last days there, we went to an orphanage for girls who had lost their parents in the 2015 earthquake. And as soon as we came through those doors, you know, the girls were just so full of love, and they just clung to us, and each one of us had at least one girl to a hand, you know, like they were just so happy that we were there, and we were blowing bubbles with them and playing around before we set up the clinics. And when we had the clinic set up and we were, you know, treating the girls, even though they were like a little nervous, some of them were, they were still so polite and well-behaved, and that was awesome. And about halfway through the clinic, I heard that the girls were actually covered in lice and scabies, which I hadn't noticed until that point. And my immediate reaction was, I don't want to be here anymore. I didn't realize how vain I was until that moment, because I didn't want to have to go through the treatments of, you know, getting out the scabies and getting the lice out of our hair and everything. And almost as soon as I had that thought, the Lord said to me, Jennifer, you wouldn't get lice for me. And it just touched me so much. And I just remember looking up and saying, of course I would, Lord. Because I didn't know what else to say, you know. And in that moment, I was no longer afraid. You know, I knew that we probably would get something from being there, but I wasn't afraid of it anymore. It was almost like an honor to have that happen for the Lord. And when we got back in the bus, you know, read Romans 12:1, which says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And I just broke down weeping. I'm sure the people around me thought I was going crazy, but it just, you know, it just struck me so much. And we went to pick up some lice and scabies shampoo for the girls. And after we dropped them off there to the orphanage, we went to the Bible college and did a short clinic. And then after that, we went back to where we were staying to treat ourselves, you know, because even though I wasn't afraid of getting the lice anymore and the scabies, you know, I still didn't want it. Obviously. So it was Denise, Loretta, and Jen from the St. Pete team and I. We kind of just went over and timed each other, you know, with the stuff, because you have to leave it in your hair for 10 minutes and then put it all over yourself, and that was fun. But when we were timing, when Denise and I were timing Loretta, she was just like, whoa, guys. She's like, I just remembered this verse that my prayer warrior had told me today, which is, Proverbs 91. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you guys, but I am going to read a little bit of it. I encourage you to go back and read it later. So Proverbs 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And obviously, that didn't mean we weren't going to ever face trials in life, but it kind of applied in the moment, and we're like, oh yeah, like that's really cool that, you know, the Lord told her that verse. And then later, we were sitting around just kind of fellowshipping, and Tenzin, who, like I said, was one of our translators, he didn't know what we were going through, but he posted that very portion of scripture on Facebook. And then Yuriana was like, wait a second, Jen, didn't your dad send you away with that verse and that whole portion of scripture before we got on the plane? And I remember that my dad had sat there and read that whole just little snippet to me. And in that moment, I knew we were going to be okay. And we were. You know, none of us were affected, and we should have been, and that was amazing. I'm so thankful that the Lord showed me that part of myself so I could change and be more like him, but he also went ahead and kept us safe, which he didn't have to do, but he loved us so much. And I'm just so thankful for that. He's such an awesome God. He is so gracious and so merciful, and I was so happy to be there and serving him. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. So just a tip, if you ever lead a missions trip, give them a really convicting scripture before you give them the bad news. Before you tell them they have scabies and lice. But I want to share a little bit about one person before I have our next speaker come up. I want to talk about Denise Meir. She went on this trip, and she always had a little fear and trepidation and was always concerned about things. And this woman, she has the gift of caring, the gift of empathy, sympathy. And I tell you, every turn, Denise was there to help. Denise was there to understand. Denise was there to share a word of comfort, a word of encouragement. And God would use her in moments when we needed that. And I can't go on to our next speaker without sharing that about Denise and what a blessing it was to have her on this trip. And she was the rockin'est dental assistant you could imagine. We teamed up. When we started, we'd have one person actually in the mouth doing the work and another one helping them. And she would anticipate. I mean, right from the beginning, it was just like in her, like built into her. She would anticipate what the person doing the work would need. And she'd have it ready and have it right there. And then when she was treating the patients, oh my gosh, her love for the patient would come through, especially with the kids. You know, they see her smiling and see her excited. And so thank you, Denise, for going on this trip. You're such a blessing. Now, this one, Loretta. I have to share about Loretta because this picture says a lot about who she is. Very passionate for the Lord, very intentional about everything she did on this trip. And we had the privilege of being able to pray with some of our patients afterwards. And I just love this picture because it shows her heart and it shows her intensity to share the truth and the gospel, even through dental work. So I want to have Loretta come up and she's going to share what the Lord spoke to her on this trip. So.
Hello, Genesee. That actually means the Tibetan people would say when they saw us, it was the Christian. They were Christian, so it means I honor the Jesus within you. So it's one of the words that I actually remembered. You know. Tonight, just listening to the music and the scripture that was spoken, I just praise God because I didn't know that He would choose those things for this specific night. And it's just such a blessing to my heart. So I wrote mine down. So once I knew Nepal was the missions trip, that the Lord was leading me on, which primarily focused on dentistry, I started preparing my heart and my mind through the study of the Word and fasting to ready myself. I also figured the next logical step I could take was to watch all the gnarly YouTube videos out there about the dentistry. And anyone who's ever watched Fear Factor knows that show is all about mind over matter. So I prepared myself to whatever we would encounter at the dinner table. However, to my discovery, the food was quite adventurous, and I liked trying it, so it was good. Now, what I wasn't prepared for was what I encountered after I walked out off the plane in Kathmandu. the golden statue of Buddha was so large, it could not go unnoticed. I walked up to get a clear view when I noticed the inscription, which was written above, and it said, "Welcome to the Lord, to the land of Lord Buddha." My initial thought was, "We're not in Kansas anymore," followed by my alert response of, "What is this place?" I made a decision in that moment to put all jokes aside. I needed to hear from my Lord. For years, I've read about nations who turn their backs and refuse to acknowledge the one true God. But to actually be standing in a place where this still exists took me to a whole new understanding of being a stranger and an alien in this world. I have to admit, the more I observed my surroundings over the couple of days, the easier my conclusion of Nepal became clear. This was a land of desolation, a God-forsaken place. It answered a lifelong question in my mind. This is what it must look like when an entire nation turns itself completely away from the sovereign Lord. I quickly took notice how everything seemed to be held tightly by just a thread. In my silence, I was crying out to God, asking him, "Where are you in this place? And what do you expect me to do here?" A day or so later, we started our clinics. And it was then, through serving and fellowship, the reality of God's plan started to become clearer. I learned that day to never write a nation or a people off just because I might see them as too far gone, oppressed, or beyond return. Over a period of serving in 6 clinics, the Lord revealed his heart to me for those people, and again, for those in the world that are lost. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some may count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." My heart broke at that moment. Now, it wasn't until I came back to the States when I truly gave thought to everything I had experienced. The Lord reminded me as I sat with him of the times in my life when I too felt as if I was hanging by just a thread. Specifically, during middle school, when my history teacher actually told me, "Loretta, you're hanging by a thread." It was then that I heard a small, clear voice to my heart say, "What you didn't know, Loretta, is that I was that thread. Holding you, hoping for you, reaching for you, and waiting for the day that you would turn to me." It was in that moment that I truly saw that I was not forsaken back then, even in my sin. Neither was Nepal. It was just a place. Nepal was just a place that needed Jesus, that needs Jesus, just like I once did and still do. Ephesians 1, 9 through 10 says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." As the Lord used Nepal and a time from my childhood to exhort and ready me for his work, which he wants me to pursue here, my prayer today is that he will do the same in your hearts as you are listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
you know, when you go on a missions trip and, you know, they people ask, are you going to evangelize? Are you going to hand out tracts? And we couldn't do that because we didn't go there to be blatant open Christians, which, I mean, it's great to do all that, but that was a place we couldn't do it quite that way. There were Christians there doing a work, and we wanted to come alongside them. And it was very important we did that the right way. And the Lord, you know, impressed upon our hearts, it's all about love. It's all about love. And this morning when Pastor Will, you know, was just teaching us about how the importance of love, and he shared that poem. And I wanted to share the last line from it. Says, love is something we must be. And the only reason we were allowed to go on those Tibetan camps, which that had never happened before, Christians going in and doing clinics there ever, was because the one Christian that was in that village and his friends that would come in and minister, ministered with the love of Christ. They saw that there was something different about Christians. They didn't want to come and pound their religion on them and change them. They showed them the love of Christ, and they wanted that love. They wanted to change because they saw something in us that was different. And so when we went, we just loved on them. And we prayed we would be just vessels because we don't have that kind of love. Only the Lord has that kind of love. And this team, first of all, loved each other so well. It was the best team I've ever been on. I always say that all the time. But it is the best team I've ever been on. And there was no drama, no bickering, no criticism, nothing. Everybody was surrendered. Everybody was sold out. And when you do that, the Lord can use you. And he did in mighty and powerful ways. He worked through us, and we got the blessing of seeing it. And so our final team member that's going to come up and speak, you know, bless her heart, this was her first missions trip, and on the plane ride over, she got strep throat. And her lovely little daughter passed on to her. You know, but God is so good. She had brought in the antibiotics just in case, and we had a couple of days down, so she just got well, and the Lord, we prayed and prayed for her, and the Lord took care of her. And when it came time to minister, she was all there. Yuriana is she learned the dental, so she was able to do that. But she was also our team photographer, and I'm so thankful because she captured some moments that they're already in our minds, but now they're going to be in our hearts forever because we can look back on them and pray. So I'm so thankful Yuri was on this trip, and this is Loretta's first trip too, and you would have never known it. I mean, I told them both, you guys are going on to Nepal on your first mission trip. That's a doozy of a first missions trip, but they just, and anywhere you go, you rely on the Lord, and he's going to take care of you, and he did. So, Yuriana, would you come up and just share about your time in Nepal?
All right. Tashi Dalek. So, I wrote mine down, too, because I'm really nervous right now. How can one sum up a life-changing experience consisting of a million and one life-changing experiences? I fully expected to be changed inside and out. But as our Father usually does, blew even the most astronomical expectation out of the water because he's God, and he always goes exceedingly abundantly above all things that I could ask or think. So this was my first missions trip. From the moment Janelle announced it on stage, I felt the call to go. But like I so often do, I questioned whether it was my own desire, but the Lord quickly made it clear it was his. He had much to show me and knew exactly the lengths he would need to go to grasp my full attention. Take me away from my husband, my children, my home, any familiarity or routine I put my comfort in, and place me in a situation where I would need to rely on my Jesus solely, mano y mano. So tonight, I will do my best to explain three things which God imparted on me, hard lessons that I'm still trying to process and retain. As cliche as this first one sounds, it is absolutely relevant. You are slapped in the face with some culture shock when you realize what you no longer have. Our first two clinics in the Tibetan settlements were in Pokhara, which was an 8-hour bus ride up and down the mountainside. It was then that I realized we were missing some very key, important elements to this road trip called rules of the road. Here we were cruising at high speeds up this mountain around curvy bends in God knows what altitudes, trying to pass every car that was in front of us, literally. The kicker was that our driver wouldn't wait to see if there was another vehicle coming around the other side of the bend. So it was a real-life game of chicken. And that is not an exaggeration, folks. It was one of the most death-defying stunts I have ever experienced, but didn't have a choice to partake in. After a while, it just became funny, because at this point, all you can do is laugh and pray. Pokhara was beautiful. It has all of the fanfare to attract tourists, and it is very easy to get lost in the beautiful scenery that God created. When we ventured from Pokhara back to Kathmandu, reality struck, and it struck hard. Desolation, despair, and dust. Lots and lots of dust. I found myself overflowing with gratitude for clean water, clean air, stoplights, stop signs, toilets, toilet paper, but most importantly, a country founded on Christianity with freedom to worship him openly. Although Nepal has one of the fastest growing Christian populations in the world, and this is according to the World Christian Database, it's still predominantly Hindu. And you can not only see it, but you can also feel it. It made me dig deep and ask myself, when was the last time I was actually filled with thankfulness for the small things? The things I don't think about much. Because those things we consider small are greatly missed once they're gone. In the same lesson, it was brought to my attention the things I place too much importance on, which is a work in progress. When I returned stateside, I dealt with some guilt. Why do we have so much when they have so little? But the Lord reminded me as I was doing my study in Philippians 4 that Paul tells them he has learned to be content whether living in plenty or in want. And I just need to be more mindful of the blessings he's giving me. But be content if they're ever taken away, because my happiness and contentment should always be because of God. The next lesson I learned was that God meets me wherever I am. A few may already know this, but during the boundless haul from New York to Abu Dhabi, I fell ill with strep throat. Here I was without my family on a plane, which, by the way, I have a massive distaste for flying. I just want to put that out there. And with people that I didn't really know besides the CCO team. I was feeling so sick, sicker than I ever have. With that being said, I can't tell you how many times they would come over, lay their hands on me, pray for me, either at the airport or in my room. And not to mention my lovely friends and family stateside, who I know were endlessly praying for me as well. So thank you for that. Our doctor on the mission, Camila, prayed that she would see me walk out of the room. And that morning, I indeed came out after 2 days of being bedridden. Everyone cheered for me, and it was really emotional. That day I was able to join the team at Beautiful Gate Nepalese Church down the street, where we sat amongst lepers. And even though we didn't understand a word the pastor or worship team were saying, we all felt the undeniable presence of the Holy Spirit moving in that tiny church. And I'm beyond grateful that the Lord didn't allow me to miss that. After devotionals one morning, Jen from St. Pete requested prayer for some homesickness that she was dealing with. And Stacy from St. Pete spoke up and said that his personal devotional time, the Lord brought him to Mark 10:28, verse 31, which says, "Then Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you.' So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last and last first.'" It was exactly what we all needed to hear at that moment, because our Father knows exactly what we need when we need it. We were not only a team, but a family formed by the Lord and centered around the Lord. And it was incredible to see the Lord work through each of us. He meets us wherever we are and whatever shape we're in. We will probably all touch on how incredible it was to serve with each other. I have taken away something from each and every person, whether it be a lesson or a memory. Each one holds a special place in my heart. And not to mention our fearless leader, Janelle, who is extremely hilarious and caused many moments of side-splitting laughter, even if she was the butt of the jokes at times. But most importantly, she was such a comfort to me, and I feel blessed I was able to glean so much from her during this trip, and I keep asking her when the next one is. So the last lesson was a slow process, which I didn't start to realize until the end of the trip. I put God Almighty in this tiny box, and I didn't realize it. Going out to these remote Tibetan villages and hearing incredible testimonies from Christians whose life mission is to spread the word of the gospel to folks who have been practicing Buddhism for generations, or missionaries called by the Lord from America to build a girls' home to help the 2015 earthquake victims, or the many other believers who were called from the ends of the earth to serve and do his will randomly ran into in Kathmandu. He's huge, and he's moving everywhere, even in the tiniest villages. I used to think, come on, Lord, what are you waiting for? Come back already. But people need him, and they need to hear his gospel. And so I see why he's tarrying. I feel honored that in my sinful state as a human who questions the Lord, who didn't know he'd meet me wherever I was, and who put Yahweh, the creator of the universe, in this tiny little box, chose to use me to serve in Nepal. And serve not only by doing dentistry that I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be doing, but also using a passion for photography he's given me for him and his kingdom to bring back our experiences to you. And in doing this, he's forever changed me. So before I go, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for your constant prayers. There was not a single prayer unheard, and because of that, not one single prayer unnoticed. So thank you. Tu chi che.
Thank you so much for letting us share with you guys. I'm sure you've seen our hearts, but I hope that you saw the Lord's heart, not just for Nepal, but for a lost world. And you all play a part in that by helping us go and by praying for us. And I hope that God will put it on your heart one day to go, because that when you go, you see how big our God is. So thank you so much.
When Janelle said, I think we're supposed to go to Nepal this year, I think we were, right? Well, we pray for those people that you love, or that you sent people from here to there, Lord, to minister your love and your grace. And we pray that they will never forget it, Lord. We pray that you would remove the scales and all the work of the enemy, Lord, that you would, Lord, grab hold of him and rip him away. And that you would do a great work there. That you take those seeds that were planted, Lord, that you would water them. And that you would bring forth a harvest, Lord, a multitude in heaven that reaches back to today. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. I thank you for keeping them safe. We thank you for their testimony to us tonight. And Lord, we pray that you would give us boldness and courage to be your witnesses right here, wherever we go. All God's people said, amen. Amen.